Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday on June the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. And I'm Pastor Tom Baker. To take any of your questions of a theological nature, the numbers to call in St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. But I do want to begin with a question that came in an email. Hi, Pastor. I was listening to Concord Matters. Now, that's another program here on KFUO. And one of the pastors mentioned a quote by Luther where he said that even my best works are tainted by selfish motivation. I've heard you say the same thing many times on your program. My question is, what scripture Luther based that belief on, that even our best works or of love are tainted? It seems like I hear a lot of sermons focusing more on Christian love than I do on law and gospel. Is it true that love is a form of the law? Is there a danger of focusing too much on preaching Christian love when the gospel is rarely mentioned? Law and Gospel is a wonderful program, and there he puts his name. Well, let's deal with the first question that I think is very, very important, namely, and I've said it many a times, that any of our good works are always tainted by selfish motivation. I like to say by self-interest. First of all, we can go to Romans 7, where the Apostle Paul says, the good I want to do, I'm unable to do, and the bad I'm stopping from doing, I'm trying to stop, I'm unable to stop. And this is Paul as a Christian. So if the Apostle Paul recognizes that his attempts at good works are always tainted with sin, that's part of the reason why we say what we say. But there is a specific Bible verse that speaks to that very clearly. It's Isaiah 64, verse 6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. You see, what Isaiah is talking about is even among the believers, their righteous deeds are like a polluted garment because they're tainted with the old Adam. When you become a believer, you do not lose your old Adam. You can overcome it. Its sins are forgiven, but it is still there. And how many times have I used examples of doing what appears to be a good work, and then it's polluted with my self-interest? For example, every time I preach, I really enjoy preaching, no doubt about it. And my new man wants to get across to you what helped me so much. But my old Adam is also in the pulpit, thinking, boy, if they like this sermon, maybe they'll start listening to Law and Gospel on KFUO and my numbers will go up. I just can't help but think that way because I'm a sinner. And when you're a sinner, therefore, you never can do a good work without it being polluted by sin. Now, can you do a good work? Can the best of your works ever be pure? And that is absolutely true, because for the Christian motivated by Jesus Christ, a good work is really referred to as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Christians do fruit of the Holy Spirit all the time. It's just that they are polluted by the interest of our old Adam. The old Adam, it is impossible for him to want to do anything out of love for Jesus Christ because he hates Jesus Christ. There are other Bible verses. For example, Paul in Philippians 3, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider my best efforts rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You see, every other religion in the world outside of Christianity has one goal, and that is to become righteous before a holy and just God who is really angry with us because of our sin. In fact, this was a big item during the time of the Reformation. And I'm working with the Trinity Lutheran folks on Thursday nights. And what we're talking about is the Heidelberg Disputation, where the first thesis of 25 of them, Martin Luther says, well, the law of God is salutary, is very helpful to us, but it also can lead to eternal death. What? How can something that is salutary actually lead to eternal death? And it is how you use it. I gave an example that we all know a hammer is very good for maybe putting a nail in the wall or putting together two pieces of wood with a nail. But one of my children, when she was very young, used a hammer and hit her brother in the head. Now, that was a misuse of the hammer. So I can say hammers are very salutary. They help you out a lot. They can make a job a lot easier. Try and put a nail into a wall without a hammer. What are you going to use, a spoon? But hammers can be really dangerous if they're misused. So also, we're talking about obedience to the law. Obedience to the law can be a wonderful thing if one spontaneously does obedience out of love for Jesus Christ. But when part of the reason for doing a good work is to get right with God, it becomes a death for you, an alarm that you will die in your sins, because God never accepts any kind of obedience to the law as a means of overcoming his wrath. The only time he ever did that was the good works of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ. You can go to Romans chapter 3, and I'm just touching a few. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Now we're going to find out the reason for the law. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And then he goes on, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So you see, the purpose of the law is not to show you the way to get to heaven, but shows you that that is not possible to be a way to get to heaven. It is as impossible for your obedience to get you to heaven as it is the obedience of an orphan to get that orphan adopted. Adoption is not part of a decision of the orphan, or he does not cooperate in his adoption, contribute to his adoption. No, the adoption is done outside of him. That's very, very important. So, there are many, many passages that clearly show that any good works we do, because of the old Adam still within us, are tainted with sin. Another item that was asked was, it seems like a lot of sermons focus more on Christian love than do on law and gospel. Now, I'm not quite sure what kind of sermons those would be, but if I want to put it into theological terms, there's no doubt a sermon should talk about the life of sanctification, which is my response to being justified. For example, the president of Concordia Seminary, Dr. Meyer, just came out with an interesting statement about how things are changing in the church as we try to reach out to more men to become pastors. And one of the things he said, and any pastor in the field will know this, is that people today think that there's nothing wrong with living together with your, well, what do they call them? The other person before marriage. That's become kind of commonplace. Well, that's totally contrary to the Word of God. And we have found statistically that those couples who live together prior to marriage have a much greater degree of divorce. And I can understand that. I mean, once you get married and you already know that your partner is somebody who doesn't follow the will of God, why would they be following the will of God when they're married to you? It just saw a movie last night, was really good. Is a teacher had a relationship with one of his students, and it was really a well put together movie, because this student had blamed this teacher because he had slept with her mother when she was a lot younger, and the mother killed herself because the husband left her. It was a very interesting movie to show that once you move into a sinful area of life, things will get worse. So, how do you get through those things that get worse? Well, I think what the letter is asking is you do need to really talk a lot more about law and gospel than you do about love. In fact, I had that problem where I was talking too much about love and the response of a congregation to what Jesus has done. I remember one of the professors came to me and said, you know, Pastor, your sermons on law and gospel are pretty good, but you almost tend to end with a confusion. I said, how so? And he said, well, sometimes your sermons end like French endings or salad endings. And I asked him to explain that. He said, well, here, after you've done everything to show us that salvation is totally from God, then you'll end with a French ending, may we, or a salad ending, let us. And you put me right back under the law, as though to be truly a Christian, I have to respond in that way. Well, the fact of the matter is none of us are able to respond properly and fully and perfectly in that way. And so I always try and end my sermons on a note of the gospel. But you see, a lot of pastors think that their goal is to create a obedient congregation among members. And that isn't the goal. The goal of a proper sermon and a proper pastor is to have a faithful congregation trusting the promises of the gospel. And so if your sermon is all about, well, here's how the world is sinning and here's how we are different and this kind of thing, and it doesn't mention Jesus Christ, then you have taken away the motivation for people to really know how to love properly. So the law shows that we do not know how to save ourselves by our works. The gospel shows that is not necessary, because God saves us by the works of Jesus Christ. So he is correct. There is a danger of focusing too much on preaching Christian love when the gospel is rarely mentioned. That's part of the problem in listening to KFUO. There are a number of other speakers that are better than I am when it comes to liturgy and this sort of thing. And as I listen to them, I learn things from them to change in order to make sure that Jesus Christ is the one focused more and more. Now, if listeners are listening a lot to KFUO, they're not going to be satisfied with a sermon that focuses more on Christian love than it does on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this writer is correct that even though our best works of love are always tainted because of our old Adam, and righteousness never can come through my obedience, righteousness comes to me through the obedience of Jesus Christ. God simply declares me to be righteous. Now, talking about the effect of somebody who goes to church. They may get or listens to KFUO. They may become quite at odds with the sermons that they are hearing. And that's why I said the two most important decisions you ever make in your life are who are you going to marry if you get married? That's lifelong. And number two, what congregation are you going to join? So before you join a congregation, say you move into a new city, you need to visit the various Lutheran churches to see which ones are in sync with the Word of God and preaching sermons that are law and gospel-oriented. Now, Senate puts out a publication from Concordia Plan Services, that's our health, called Better Health. And here was one of the items that I found really interesting. I've been saying this a lot, that attending church really helps you to overcome what the world is telling you. And that's why it's not at all unusual to find that couples who are living together before marriage also don't attend church very much because they're not hearing from the Holy Trinity about this. Here's what the statement said. Women who regularly attend worship services at least once a week have a 20% reduced risk of premature death, regardless of whether they smoke, drink, or exercise. Wow. How'd they figure that out? Well, they did a study of 92,000 women by researchers at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine and Yeshiva University. So what did they attribute the findings that they have a 20% reduced risk of premature death? They attributed them to the emotional support and release from stress that regular worship provides. Then they have a quote from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, that there is, in a proper divine worship service, help to comfort you when you listen to the liturgy, you listen to the readings, you listen to the sermon, you receive the body and blood of Christ properly in the Lord's sacrament. You see, this overcomes the thinking of the world because you now hear promises from God that comfort you. Let me give you a very simple example. Let's say someone close to you dies, but you don't go to the funeral. You just are really, really sad. Without that funeral experience, if it is a proper preacher giving you the comfort that's available, you're not going to be comforted. Instead, you will become emotionally with a problem. And you will have stress. You may not be able to sleep at night. This all can be overcome by going to a proper funeral and hearing the promises of God that help you to understand that your loved one is now with Jesus through faith in him. In fact, I've been mentioning about seeing a woman who is on her deathbed for about 3 weeks now. She died 2 days ago. Yesterday, I was with the husband as we were making arrangements. And yes, he is sad, but he still does not have the level of stress that he had when he first found out she had to go into hospice care. That was really devastating. But by not only myself visiting with him, but other members of the congregation and relatives being with him, that stress was relieved to the point where now he takes joy that she is where there is no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, and there is a time coming when he will soon again be with her. The fact of the matter is You come to a worship service not to worship God, period. Because a lot of people think, well, that's something I do. No, what a worship service is, proper worship of God takes place how? It's Martin Luther's meaning of the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A lot of people think, well, to remember the Sabbath day means I don't do any work on that day. And there were even cities that would not allow stores to be open on Sunday. That's rarely the case anymore. But that all missed the true meaning of what the Sabbath day is. Luther hit it spot on. We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it. At a Bible study this past Monday, we were talking to the folks. One was going through confirmation, and we were making the point that when it comes to the third commandment, all the commandments restore to us gifts that Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. The first commandment, thou shalt know the gods before me, well, they lost God. The second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, they weren't able to call upon him because they didn't know his name. And that was restored. And the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day, when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they lost the gift of God talking to them. But that continues in the divine service, where God speaks through the liturgy, through the hymns, through the readings, through the sermon, through the acts of the sacrament. This is what lowers a person's stress, because the Holy Spirit is working through that. It's really quite the important worship service of a funeral service, because people are wondering, where is this person and how can we know this? And a proper preaching in a funeral service will bring the greatest good news to an individual that can be heard, namely what Jesus Christ has done for those who believe in him. So comfort is given, stress is relieved. It doesn't surprise me at all what this article says in Better Health, that women who regularly attend worship services have a 20% reduced risk of premature death, regardless of whether they smoke, drink, or exercise. Now, that means women who don't exercise, women who smoke, women who drink, and I would assume in moderation, that they have a 20% chance of the reduced risk of premature death if they attend a worship service. It's kind of, when's your most wonderful time? When you think back over when you were a child, etc. Don't we normally think about Christmas? At Christmas, sometimes you'll smell food and it'll remind you of Christmas. Or you'll have an experience, oh, that reminds me of when mom did this or dad did this and we were home. People love going home at Christmas to be with one another, to have a really good time. That's what the divine worship service is. It's a time to come home. It's a time to get back in the Garden of Eden. You see, a divine worship service is really a rest home. And that's what the word Sabbath means, by the way. Day of rest. And it doesn't mean a day of rest in the sense that we're not doing any work. No, we still do work in the divine worship service. We sing, we pray, we give offerings, we come forward to receive the Lord's Supper. There is much that happens in the divine worship service, but the most important thing that happens is not only that we're able to talk to God, but he speaks to us. And when the Holy Trinity speaks to us, this kind of offsets what the world is telling us. And so when somebody says, well, let's get married, but let's live together before that, the answer is, oh, no, absolutely not. Because I love the Holy Trinity more than I love you. It's really a fight against the devil throughout our life. And that fight can be victorious when you're attending the divine worship service, because you're now hearing from the Holy Trinity. Hopefully you're at a church where the Word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments are ministered rightly. That's what you need to check out. So if you're in a church which is contrary to the morality of the Bible, that's not where you want to be going, because therefore you're going to be hearing Satan preaching rather than the Holy Trinity speaking to you. And then when you share that with your children and they fall away from the church, you ought not be surprised. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday. By the way, I appreciate the email sent. Anyone else can send me emails that I will respond to during programming. And here is the email address, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. By the way, if you want to hear a really good sermon at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm this week, I'm not preaching. Pastor Douglas Gaunt is coming back. He's doing a wedding that he had planned for on Saturday, and then not only preaching at 8 and 10:30, but also doing the Bible study at 9:30. Till Monday then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.